please. Father, we do thank you for our brother Lachlan, that he can come and share with us today. We thank you for the things that you have laid on his heart to share with us, Lord, that you would speak to each of us, Father. There is a message here, Lord, that we can learn from, that we can grow from, that can be challenged, Lord, to do more for you, to grow personally, Father, and to reach out to the lost. So that I just pray, Lord, that you would be with Lachlan this morning and bless the words that he shares with us in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Brian. And thank you, Bill, for wiring me up. And Bill's been of double service this morning because I saw a... I didn't know what to title the talk. So, in fact, yesterday I finally settled on the same title as last time when I was here, The Church Under Attack, except that then I labelled it as September, not 2019. But Bill had the title for me, Where is God in All This? So it was up on the screen, and I thought, hey Bill, that would make a great title. And he said, yes, that's why I picked it. And you'll see where that comes in into our talk. So thank you, Bill. Couple of readings, and they will come up on the screen. And the first one from Jeremiah. I feel sorry for Jeremiah whenever you read some of the introductory chapters. A great guy, but boy, talk about feelings. So from Jeremiah 6, I'm just going to read the first four lines, in fact. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Cut down the trees and build siege ramps against Jerusalem. This city must be punished. It is filled with oppression. And then I'll skip down, thank you, Bill, to Ezekiel. Down the page. So in Ezekiel, I guess we feel sorry for Ezekiel too, with everything that he had to say to people and such unpopular messages. So from Ezekiel 9... Great. Now the glory of the God of Israel went up from above the cherubim where it had been and moved to the threshold of the temple. Then the Lord called to the man clothed in linen who had the writing kit at his side and said to him, Go throughout the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of those who grieve and lament over all the detestable things that are done in it. And then if you read on, it's very awe-inspiring that the angel then went around the city and killed all the people who did not have the mark of on their foreheads and who had been grieving. Then from Romans, a little bit more cheerful. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the heart. So, the three significant verses there in those readings were cut down the trees and build siege ramps against Jerusalem, put a mark on the foreheads of those who grieve and lament, and the night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. You may remember that last time I was here, I talked about the theme of our early morning prayer meetings. Mourning for the suffering world, grief for our nation, a sense of excitement because God holds tomorrow, but in the midst of all of that, being able to experience joy for today, as we have in our worship here this morning. All four of these emotions can coexist, and I think should. Last time we talked about being under attack and being equipped for the times, as did the men of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what to do and came on side to David. To put it into context, just over 2 weeks ago, in August, a Christian doctor friend of mine in Victoria was suspended from practice. A temporary deregistration until the charges against him are further heard by the Medical Board of Australia because of his exercise of free speech regarding various issues including abortion, sexual orientation and transgenders. So get that. A doctor has been suspended for speaking out on public health issues. His accusers have trawled back through his Facebook pages and also an article in Eternity magazine, I believe, on sex change treatments for transgenders, as it is said, contrary to accepted medical practice. So, if a medical practice from various sections of the medical community are to, undertake sex change operations on children with, who are transgendering, that therefore what he said was contrary to accepted medical practice. It will be sometime, several months probably, before the charges can be heard, and until then he has to tolerate the storm in his practice of being deregistered and of course without income, and yes, he has a dependent family. He's coping very well, by the way. He's making the most of the time that he's got off, so to speak, to spend more time with his kids and to have some recovery time. And, just to make it worse, 1 week ago, just last week, a doctor in another state has been notified that he's being investigated for his views on abortion that make him, according to the complainant, that make him unfit for practice. Such charges are always distressing. You wanted me to bring you up to date with what was going on. This is just so hot at the present moment. Such charges are always distressing, even when you have done nothing wrong except to speak for truth. We are, as the Apostle Peter wrote to, live such good lives among the pagan that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. We realise, of course, these charges are just part of a bigger picture at this time. We have been under attack for a long time and we have been asleep. The siege ramps against the city of God have been building up and up, and we are under a barrage ethically and morally and medically such as we have not been before. And yet, of course, we've been warned that this would happen by such as C.S. Lewis, Francis Schaeffer, many others, including in our recent times, including Ravi Zacharias, who, by the way, is the speaker for next year's Governor's Prayer Breakfast. That's already been organised. The most significant attack of all is, of course, on our freedom to speak truth. The Izzy Folau case highlights this and will be current for a long time. Whatever we may think about the wisdom of how he said what he said and whether the same thing could have been said in a more loving way as an invitation to repentance rather than a condemnation, but I remind you that Jesus did it both ways. Nevertheless, it highlights the pressure that can come to bear from employers, their organisations and the financial backers of those organisations. And all of this is before federal parliament now. The battle is huge and is of relevance for both of these doctors. Surely doctors have a right to comment on medical issues, particularly when they involve public health. Please pray that our government gets the legislation right. There are so many tricky parts to all of this. We had a slightly similar debate back in 2009 when a Bill of Rights was proposed and thankfully defeated. It was in response to this that I wrote the People's Charter, and you will find on the peoplescharter.net.au site a detailed explanation of why that was necessary. Briefly, it says, while respecting each other's beliefs and values, we demand the liberty for us all to freely express our beliefs and values, joined together with like-minded people who share these beliefs and values in mutual association, to bring up our children in families that facilitate sharing of these beliefs and values, to set up educational facilities consistent with these beliefs and to exclude influences that are contrary, and to state these liberties without fear of accusation of intolerance or hate speech. We are facing four major battles. that affect the future of this nation at the moment. Abortion in New South Wales, euthanasia here, and we call it voluntary assisted dying because that sounds better than euthanasia, freedom of speech and transgender sexuality. Other issues include, we're also fighting here, babies born alive as a result of failed abortion and then left to die. Our freedom to send our kids to private schools who will uphold our values. In the public square, in the marketplace, to counter accusations of phobias, hate speech and vilification. Freedom of speech and debate in universities, being squashed by activism from those with a contrary view. And you may recall that we had to cancel a talk by a visiting American professor just a few months ago because of the student body objecting that he should come and be able to talk. That is changing, fortunately. We're fighting that one back. State indoctrination of ideology, particularly sexual ideology, in our schools through the Safe Schools program. Respectful relationships is one of the ways that's been retitled, and here in Western Australia, inclusive education, WA, to be different from the inclusive education program in Queensland, which is quite a good program, but here it's just another name for the Safe Schools program. And of course, surrogacy and prostitution. Wow, it's all a bit too much, isn't it? The siege ramps against our walls have been steadily building while we have been asleep. For the moment, we still have peace, but we are also to have grief for what is happening. Note that it was those who had a mark on their foreheads who were grieving and lamenting. They were the ones who were spared. That is not our judgment yet. Can we hold it back? Is the night nearly over and the day almost here, as Paul wrote to the Church of Rome? Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is some good news. Can we hold it back? We are in a fight back. In the USA and here, just in the last few weeks, we have moves to set up government-sponsored inquiries into the treatment of transgenders and the horrific surgical management reported in girls as young as 13, let alone the implications of compulsorily admitting women into female sports and change rooms, etc. So right at this time, a doctor is suspended from practice because he has expressed his doubts on medical treatment of kids wishing to transgender. I have written 9 articles on this subject, all available on Choose Life Australia. Will they come for me too, as they did in 2012, regarding a submission from the newly formed Doctors for the Family to the federal government? You may remember that the medical board asked for my response, and then it refused to have a hearing on the matter, so yes, it was effectively dropped. However, a doctor at that time went through the names of around about 150 signatories to the submission, did Google searches and established that most of them were involved with church in some way or were known to be Christian, and so said that this was a Christian document and therefore it should be dismissed. It is of no worth. This is despite the fact that it had no Christian content at all. One of the other signatories to the document was a professor of psychiatry in Victoria who basically had to resign from the Human Rights Commission there because of the attacks. There are other moves on this that may become public soon. So there's various things that are happening in the background that will give us a chance of having more of a fight back. Please pray regarding the strategies. Yes, we have the mind of Christ in us and can, with the purest of motives and purposes, be seeking for the glory of God, but it is so important that we follow his strategy for how this is to be achieved rather than our strategy. So everything may be right in terms of purpose and motive, but yes, we need to pray regarding the strategies, that they will be effective and honouring to God, and be persistent in prayer. I am frequently amazed and delighted at God's timing in all of these things. Now, it is in bringing the abortion issue with one doctor, the transgender issue with another doctor, the freedom of speech affecting us all, and the moves against transgenders at the higher levels. All this at the same time is amazing. It's good timing. Please pray for the people involved and that God will be honoured. Pray for Nick Garan, who still cops flak for his 20-hour filibuster to delay a vote on surrogacy. Remember, he did that because the government had commissioned a report on surrogacy, which had not even been presented to members of parliament at that time, and yet which they would have voted on without having the opportunity to read it. So Nick forced the delay of the voting on the bill by his 20-hour continuing to talk. Bad tactics by government, quite dishonourable, not good responsibility, yet some will condemn Nick and allege bad tactics or dishonour on the part of Nick. Pray for Nick. It is extraordinary that all these current issues seeking to destroy our nation from within are all medical. If you go to Choose Life Australia and put the battle for medicine in the search line, you'll get an understanding of how these and other important issues are facing medicine. A related issue that involves all of these, of course, is liberty of conscience to practice according to our conscience. The transgender issue, sorry to come back to it, is so significant. It affects our children with the safe schools type of influence on our children and the damage it does in leading our children astray, and the government has mandated this teaching. Secondly, there is the issue of, do we affirm the change when the children request it, or do we affirm their birth sex? Failure to affirm the change the child wants is labelled as child abuse, whereas we would regard the opposite, that to affirm the change and go down the medical treatment and surgical treatment line is child abuse. Further, big government has indicated that what they have called conversion therapy to try and counsel the child or the young adult away from this line of this direction that they're taking is wrong and will be criminalised. Medical defence organisations and medical boards have so far not come to grips with these dilemmas facing medicine. Now, it will not surprise you, but sometimes these things are overwhelming. And I and many others have a huge sense of burden, and I trust that you have too. We are praying, of course, that God will give us a respite in this 3-year term of Scott Morrison as Prime Minister, and I think we should be bold and ask for 3 times 3 years. That would give us a chance to turn some of this around in Australia. Fred Nile has just a few days ago, don't know whether you get stuff from Fred, written a press release titled Death Creep Over Australia. He writes, these bills illustrate a death creep that is inundating the nation. Why are state parliaments so hell-bent on promoting death? Dr. Robert Webb, I don't know him, a barrister, has provided a scathing report on the impact of the New South Wales abortion bill. The abortion bill is a stain upon the honour of New South Wales and a blight upon this parliament. It is among the most extreme legislative measures ever taken against the unborn. Now, a slightly more encouraging thing again, it may interest you, but for several weeks before the last election, I and along with many, many others who were engaged in extra prayer at that time, had a heavy sense of burden, and that was just something which was just going on. On a Friday morning before the election, when I woke up, the burden had gone. It had lifted. And I thought, wow, this is so nice. I'm not sure what it means, Lord, and I'm not attaching any interpretation to that. I was happy if that meant that that Scott Morrison would be elected. Well, that would be a great relief and a good thing for our country. But I thought, well, okay, if Scott Morrison's in opposition, that can still be a good thing. God can turn it to good. But it was fascinating that heavy burden which I'd been carrying for those 3 to 4 weeks possibly longer, had just suddenly lifted. And I thought, thank you, Lord, that's a God. You're in charge. However this works out, you're in charge. I couldn't bear to watch the election results as they were coming in. I didn't check in until about 9 o'clock and then suddenly found that Scott Morrison had got there. A miracle. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, a sense of burden is appropriate. Indeed, I think we should all feel it at some time, as illustrated in that reading from Ezekiel and as illustrated in our early morning prayer theme, mourning for the suffering world, grief for our nation. Excitement because God holds tomorrow, but in the midst of all of that, to have joy for today. So, how to handle things when things are overwhelming? We get to the point of the talk. William Cowper, the hymn writer, who with John Newton of Amazing Grace fame compiled the Olney Hymn Book, suffered severe depression. In fact, it was amazing. It was John Newton that upheld William Cowper during that time by encouraging him to write. So together they wrote, I think, around about 150 hymns for the Olney Hymn Book. Wondered as well, and his depression comes through in his hymns. Wondered as well known refers to difficult times, not just depression. Is God moves in a mysterious way, which all of us old people will remember. The young people don't get a chance to sing it probably, but which helps us to see God as sovereign in circumstances that defy common sense. So we come back to Bill's title for our sermon today. Where is God in all this?
What have we got?
Okay, the beginning. So those of you, I know it all off by heart, but I'm not going to try and display that today because I'm sure I'll get it wrong. Okay, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Majestic words. And the so, where is God in all of this? God moves in a mysterious way. We don't always understand it at the time, but he is in command. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Right, okay, it can be our response. So, God is great and mysterious and all-powerful, but how does that help me? And the response, as William Cowper wrote, deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he brings up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. So he does it. We may not understand, it's so mysterious, but he does it. Okay, he works things out. My response, he works things out according to his plan, but how does that help me? And once again, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are bent with mercy and shall break in blessings. It's magnificent. It's some of these old poems, I wonder whether he wrote it as a poem and then set it to music, I don't know. Okay. A promise for the future, thank you, but right now in my circumstance, that doesn't make a lot of sense. And the response, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Oh yes, okay, God is in control, but how long, O Lord? His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Thank you, Lord, and I will hang on to that hope, but it's so hard when I look at what has been happening. This is only interpreter. Whoops, I've gone. Clicked it twice. Blind unbelief is sure to err, and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. And last but not least, thanks Bill, and last but not least, after Cowper's death from his wonderful friend John Newton, the Lord's thoughts and ways are so much above ours that it becomes us rather to lie in the dust in adoration and praise than to question the grounds of his proceedings. Let me say it again. Newton, sort of in a mourning for his friend William Cowper and the depression that he had to face through all of his life. The Lord's thoughts and ways are so much above ours that it becomes us rather to lie in the dust in adoration and praise than to inquire presumptuously into the grounds of his proceedings. And I also need to remind myself of Paul's words to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians, where he talks about his light and momentary troubles. I don't think Paul had light and momentary troubles. They sound pretty serious to me. But these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us a glory that far outweighs them all. Note the connection. How is the glory achieved? It's through the light and momentary troubles. So these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us a glory that far outweighs them all. So what are we to do? Above all else, pray. Recognising again that this is a spiritual battle. Absolutely. God sometimes answers our prayers before we even pray them. Remember when Scott Morrison was elected leader of the Liberal Party? I don't think anyone had thought to pray that prayer, that we would have a Christian leader of the Liberal Party and then subsequently... yes, we prayed that he might win the election. Lots of people praying for that. But to pop him in as leader was just the way it worked out. God answered the prayer before we had even thought of him. Okay. The grief we must feel must compel us to pray against the siege ramps being built up, to be alert to everything that is happening, to put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light, clothing ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we pray? We pray for governments. We pray for the abortion legislation in New South Wales. We pray regarding the euthanasia battle here. We pray regarding transgenders, safe schools, freedom of belief, to teach our children around the kitchen table, for Scott Morrison and Christian Porter as they sort out how best to maintain religious freedom. And remember, please, to pray for Christian leaders who are at the front line of these battles, and for the two doctors that have both been targeted by Medical Board of Australia. We need to teach creation. We need to teach. We need to lift up our heads, for our redemption draws nigh. And I'd rather skip the next bit and just lead in prayer. So, Lord, okay, we are aware of these battles. The attack sometimes just seems so overwhelming. And yes, Lord, help us to have the right level of grief for our nation, but also a sense of knowing that you are in charge of tomorrow and that we can also be experiencing joy with each other and the world that you have created for today. And yes, Lord, in all of these matters we ask that you will be glorified in your people, that you will be glorified in our nation. We pray especially for these two doctors who have been targeted just in the last few weeks. We ask that you will uphold them. Thank you that both of them, Lord, know you. And that is why they have written on the subjects that they have written. We ask for you to uphold them and their families and bring them through all of this, Lord, and make them stronger because of this. We pray that for all of us, Lord, that yes, these light and momentary troubles will achieve for us a glory that far outweighs them all. We thank you that you are sovereign. We thank you that you are sovereign in our land. We thank you for those songs that we have sung earlier that remind us of all of this. And I thank you for them too. I thank you for this body of people here who I believe are more aware than most. And we ask, Lord, yes, for an awakening amongst your people, for a fervency, Lord, in prayer. In all of this, recognising that ultimately it's so much more than against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and that we are to stand firm with your armour, the armour of light and the armour that you, the practical armour that you give us in so many ways. We thank you for being our God. We thank you that you, Lord Jesus, are at the right hand of the throne of the Father and making intercession for us. We thank you for these wonderful realities, and we give you all the praise. Amen.
We'll just close with the last hymn, and then we'll have that question time after that. Our last hymn is When We All Get to Heaven. So our problems will be solved then, of course. But and you know, you often think these things are happening so fast. Is that time drawing so much closer? But this is an old hymn, and it's a bit high, so the ladies need to sing up. Father, we just thank you so much that we can praise you, that we can shout about that victory, the victory that's been won already, Father, through your sacrifice for us, your redemption of us, Lord. And thank you, we just praise you so much for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Do you want to take that?
Okay, so question time. If people have questions, that would be great. But, yes.
Yes.
I just wondered how you ask people if they say that issues like abortion or euthanasia are not medical issues, but they're human rights issues, or trying to take a different approach.
And yes, they are. They're rights issues that affect our nation, our nation's future, and our kids. They certainly involve the medical, so at least doctors should have a right to be able to speak on such things. It's so important with this, in fact, to realise that doctors will have the expertise. peace and the breadth of experience on such issues as abortion, euthanasia in particular. For instance, so in 50 years of practice with me looking after people in their home, I've only once ever had a person actually ask for me to be able to put them to sleep. And that was early in the process of him having his cancer, and I said, I will look after you, I will make sure that you're not having any problems, and the issue never came up again. So, and it doesn't, and all the palliative care doctors have the same experience, that any requests initially for euthanasia die off, as in fact we are able to give them good palliative care, which unfortunately is not available everywhere, but we need to get that right before we decide on such things as then assisting them to die. So I've got a new theme for that on the, as the watermark on the submissions that we write. And that is to ease the way, but never to intentionally kill. Now, that's a perspective that doctors can give on this, and a perspective that experts in the area, palliative care doctors, can give on this that the public doesn't have. So, yes, it's a wider social issue, but the people, the ordinary people, don't understand, in fact, how much we can do. So, people need never die in pain. That's the simple answer to that. It's about our personal rights, and yes, people will say that, and the founders of so many of the euthanasia movement say it is, in fact, it's about rights. That people die with existential suffering if they find that life's too difficult, they can die and be assisted in that process. Well, doctors don't want to be assisted in that process, and doctors should never be involved in that process. Similarly with abortion, we have a perspective on abortion that the general public don't have. And incidentally, when you rephrase the euthanasia questions, and don't just have factors like pain, the people voting for it drops down to around about 40% up instead of 88%. So, and we can offer our perspective on that abortion too. I mean, the people that I see in their 40s and 50s who regret having had an abortion, and they're suffering from depression there. And, I mean, and then of course you've got the incidence of subsequent premature birth after a baby has had, so it increases the risk of premature birth and all the risks that are involved in premature birth, including cerebral palsy, or the ones who then can't have children. So there is a medical perspective on all of these things, which in effect eclipses the general sort of perception that there is out there in the community. So yes, they are primarily medical matters, and on which doctors have information to be able to put forward. Which we can't always get out there when it matters. So to educate the community on these things, we educate them and gradually we swing the boat. But you can't put an ultrasound image of a baby on the side of the bus because that's offensive. So we get squashed in so many different ways.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you mentioned a charter, I think it was, that handled. Right, they had 150 doctors' names on, they were screened, and most of them were bound to have church affiliations and things.
Oh, yes, yes. That's a vision, yes.
Yes, I'm really wanting your comment here because I heard Andrew Denton on the radio some weeks ago, very persuasive and very compelling, really.
Mm.
He called this the crucifix behind the stethoscope.
Wow.
So he said there's this cynicism that he says, you know, behind all these people opposing us, they're believers, you know. He didn't say it like that. He just said, he calls it the crucifix behind the stethoscope. And there's this impression that comes over that they are the compassionate ones and we are driven by ideology that we're trying to push on society. So would you please comment on that? Compassion versus...
I think you've made the comment very, very well. In all of the submissions that the ones that I've done on behalf of Medicine with Allergies, about 45 of them now over a decade, but others have done as well, we don't argue from a Christian point of view. We argue from a medical, social point of view. So there's no Christian content in any of the submissions that I've ever been involved in. I was at a Victorian, there was a Centre Select Inquiry in Victoria which I attended, and the on euthanasia, and the first person, so there were four people in front of me, the first person was leader of the Greens, what's his name?
Brown.
Anyway, he said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" That was his opening word. And I said, "Yes, but our submission has got no Christian content in it at all." "Oh, yes, but you were involved in the abortion debate in Tasmania. And the, you know, you believe that all life is precious, and yes, I do. But again, in our submissions, people in fact go through our submissions and they say, oh yes, and, these submissions are signed mostly by Christian doctors, which they are, and therefore they should, and therefore they're saying that we should never. Oh well, you know, I'm not saying that now. We're not saying that now. We'll continue with the." So after that initial attack, then at least we got down to some of the issues of what we really should be about. Mm-hmm. So we do inclined, we are inclined to get wiped off. I mean, I think that quote by Andrew Denton, "The crucifix behind the stethoscope," I mean, that's brilliant. I mean, that's classic Andrew Denton to come up with something brilliant like that. Wow, very good. He's, I like Andrew Denton, but he's completely one-sided on the euthanasia and the autonomy. I was having a discussion with one of my granddaughters last night on compassion and how you look at the different avenues of the angles of compassion. Compassion for the mother who's pregnant, who doesn't want to be. That's the one where I was going. I'm praying that someone will take over the beds and with reality submissions. Eventually they will all, but at the present moment I'm the one who's still doing it.
I think one of the dimensions, well, the dimension that's missed so often is our spiritual dimension. You have comments, psychological, that someone plays war games all the time and into violent movies and stuff like that, they'll end up being violent. But really, Ephesians 6, you know, our battle is not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And what I saw in the late 1990s, when abortion was legalized in Western Australia, God showed me that we had released the spirit of violence in the land, where we did not value human life. And I didn't even understand what he was saying. But now, 20 years later, we have released the spirit of violence. If you think back 20 years ago, there was not the violence. Now, every night on television, you will find someone who is violent and killing is happening there on the streets. And so spiritually, if we release the spirit, we say violence is okay, murder is okay, a human life, it's all right to kill it. We release that spirit. And our battle in Ephesians 6 is not with flesh and blood. It is with the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so we as Christians have to battle. We can't be complacent, we have to battle. And we have to fight on. Thank you, Lachlan. And thank you for the sermon.
My pleasure. Thank you for being an attentive congregation.
Thank you very much for coming. Lachlan will have to shoot off, but if you want to catch him before he shoots off.
I've left a couple of some of my cards out on the table.
Right.
And there's four books there, which are just of such good value at this point in time. One of them was written 2 years ago, one last year, and the other two written this year. They're very, very topical. So if you want more information,
so we can borrow them,
or you can borrow them and maybe write down the titles, and maybe that's something that we can distribute in people are interested in the, yes, right at the time.
Write down the title of those books and lock them and take them away. That's a good idea. Okay, thank you very much, and do stay for lunch.
This thing. Right. Stop.